This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is Thursday, May 8th. Hope it's going smooth for you so far. Smoother than it's going for the Celtics. My Lord. Those of us that have been critical of Jason Tatum, specifically critical of his heart. Boy, have we got something to chew on today.
Vindication.
Well, it's vindication, but it's more to chew on. It's more meat.
I say that
for us to chew on because he could pull them out of this. Maybe. Now, he was the finals MVP runner-up last year. Don't forget that. They rode the heart of Jaylen Brown last year to a title. Hit a lot of threes doing it. This year, they're coming up short. 0-2. It's becoming a common theme here. They blow 20-point leads to the Knicks. They've done it twice now. Pretty unbelievably. We'll talk about that. Ironically, there's a Superman commercial running now. The movie comes out, I believe, in July. I don't know if you've seen the trailers. They've got Jason Tatum tied to it as Clark Kent.
Miscast.
So far, no S underneath that Celtics jersey, is there?
Ooperman. You saying Jason Tatum is Ooperman?
No. What he is mild-mannered Clark Kent. And that is who he has been so far. That's who we'll see if he comes out of. We'll see if we see Superman. Ooh. My Nuggets. I'm losing in the long shot contest that I have forced with John. He has Pacers. They're up 2-0. I'm now 1-1. I do still have home court advantage. John's looking good there. What I should have done was taken the Knicks.
Should have. But who would have done that? Who would have done that?
Well, I said, here's how they do it with dogs. I just don't know if they can. I should have taken it. Anyway. Guess what else I did yesterday?
What's that?
I went and saw Sinners.
Hey, there we go. Good decision, man.
Now, you spent about 40 minutes early this week on our show reviewing it.
Yes.
You didn't. Amazingly, you didn't divulge any plot lines. You talked for 40.
That's what the best do.
Yeah, it was amazing work. I now have thoughts to match your thoughts.
Okay. We'll compare
and
notes.
I'm eager to compare notes with my partner. John Martin is here. King George is on the ones and twos. Ready to roll on a Thursday?
And maybe.
Let's hit the roundabout.
A little bit of life with the Pac-12. That's back in the news. So, and some potentially interesting developments there. And some pathways to sort of getting out of the AAC.
Okay.
Sort of getting out of
it. I'm willing to listen.
But
there's also some bad news yesterday.
Oh, no.
That. Oh, no. It was serious news, like tied to the Tyree.
Oh, Nichols. Yeah. That was bad news.
The state, you know, in this case, failing to get guilty verdicts on any of the charges. Now, they've been convicted federally. and expected to do time, but that was not a great day for the justice system yesterday here locally. I realize it was state, but it was local in the sense you had our DA on it. So that was, it goes without saying, just praying for that. To see his mom walk out of there and look up into that sky with that disappointment was awful. Awful to see. So that, anyway, yeah, it wasn't all, you know, just movies and 20-point, you know, comebacks yesterday. It was that was awful to see as well.
Yeah, Giorgio Armani is here.
Giorgio Armani is here. King George.
King George. Thank you.
You have so many names for him. Let's get focused on one. And we love King George. It's his handle.
He's like
King George is his handle.
You know who he's like? I don't know if
I stopped the show for him yesterday. If you keep doing this, he's really going to think like probably that, you know, we're head over heels for this guy. So just keep it brief on George. He got enough blow up yesterday.
This is like,
didn't you, George?
George is like the,
absolutely.
He says yes, he did.
See, George is
guy's great.
The Genki of 92.9. Do you know who Genki is?
Genki. I had I believe a great grandmother on my mom's white side named Genki.
Genki is
referring to her.
The Tom Holland Spider-Man's like best friend, right?
Okay.
And he's in charge of all the Spider-Man tech. Like he does all he devises all of his like new fangled weaponry systems.
George is definitely a tech man. We talked about that yesterday.
And, you know, he's kind of a nerd, right? He's kind of a nerd. George is kind of a nerd. I think you would admit that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he came over here from, you were doing IT, correct?
Close enough.
Nerd balling out of here in a two-door Toyota. And ball out of here faster. Well,
I'm not trying to put him in a box.
Yeah. I don't know about fast.
Bro, stop it.
I'm not trying to put him in a box. Man,
I'm
just saying he's the Genki of 92.9. Like he does all the camera work, he does all the tech stuff.
Ben, you know? Zobrist, as he said yesterday.
I like that one a little better.
You like Ben Zobrist?
Utility
guy. Man.
Utility
yeah, I know, guy. But you know, it's just too, you know, I want to get outside the
former Ray.
I want to get out of sports. Fan. You know, I want
to have
a
Zobrist jersey, don't you?
No.
Okay, well,
wish
good.
It did.
Yeah, it works.
But anyway, we appreciate George being here. Brad's in Chicago. I don't know what he's doing.
Business. He's in Chicago on business.
Perfect.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, every time I leave, I'm going
to
say I'm on business, man.
All
right?
Yeah.
I'll be on business.
He's a farm boy. He wouldn't know anything but business heading up to the big city.
Nobody nobody asked me nothing, okay, about why I'm where I'm at. Anyway, yeah.
He ain't like the smokestack brothers.
No, he's not. That is very true. He is not coming back with Al Capone money.
No. Nah.
So anyway, yes, we'll have a show today.
Lucky if he's not coming back with cuts.
Cuts? Oh my.
No, I'm just saying.
What's he getting
I'm
into
just saying that's the world we live in now where you come back and people get laid off. That was a joke.
Jesus, looking
for a little levity.
Oh, I thought
just
you,
a joke. It went
I
over
thought
your
you
head.
Meant like.
No, you're like Siri. Everything's literal. I was just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cuts?
Like he's going to get cut up in Chicago, bro.
No.
He would. I mean, you know.
No, I meant like layoffs.
Oh, blah.
Never mind.
I think Brad's safe for now, but again, stay tuned. You know, you just never know in this economy. Although we did announce a brand new trade deal that will reshape global trade as we know it this morning with the United Kingdom. It's the sixth largest economy in the world.
Why don't you just focus on the House settlement?
We're on it.
Keep you focused on one thing.
We're on it. We're working on it.
Okay.
Drew Hill's going to join us at 11:25, talk to him about the Grizzlies and just kind of what's next for them, right? Is it waiting on the All-NBA teams to figure out Jaren? Is there anything to figure out at all? I mean,
that's the thing.
Maybe they've figured it out.
I'm sure he'll take us through the steps. But once you know that, you know if you're going to do it now, and you've got that flexibility that comes with right now, you know, locking Jaren in, keeping him on his on next year's salary, 20 something, and then you go to the big one. Well, that gives you more flexibility. So you do need to know that.
And I also do want to inform you that the smoke is white.
Okay.
A new pope has been chosen.
Okay. Well, ding that, because that's breaking news, ding it, whatever you want to do. That's world news there.
So I don't know how that – we will obviously broadcast that press conference, news conference live.
They were voting like four times a day now, right?
Yeah.
They pushed it into overdrive.
I mean, honestly, what the hell else are they doing in there? I mean, it's time to pick. You know, this doesn't need to take
a
week.
I have a little respect for the process.
So I do like the white smoke. I mean, the imagery is so great, you know.
Of course it is.
So dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, the smoke's black. Oh, they didn't pick. White smoke. Oh, they got him. You know, so.
Doesn't take a lot to impress you.
I think they're still voting.
Are they? Is John?
I think it's.
No, it's all over.
It's over. John has the latest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm quite sure. It just broke within the last 2 minutes. I mean.
Gotcha. I'm seeing stuff from 6 minutes ago where they're still working on it.
See, that's the difference with me.
John's on top of things. George,
is that
King
my
George.
Information is up
slow.
To the second.
I'm
to
the one second. That's a little slow.
Up
so
to
as
the
you
second.
Work more with us, you'll understand.
Bragg like doesn't like the fact that I look at my computer, right? He doesn't like that. Sometimes he'll kind of let that be known.
But you're getting breaking news.
But it's not like I'm sitting here
breaking world news,
running calculations, right? I'm watching for information at all moments and all, because my responsibility is to the audience to keep the audience informed at
That's
all
right.
times. Right? Because you're driving around. You don't know what the hell's going on in the world, right?
100%.
That's a good point.
But I do.
Got to keep people in the know.
We thank you for the service.
And congratulations to the new pope. Could it be the first African-American pope?
Possibly. I have no idea.
It could be.
Yeah.
I think he's just African.
Oh, sorry. He's not American. My apologies. But
why don't you just stop talking about it? You broke the news. Move on. You obviously know nothing else.
You're
they
right.
were voting 4 days. You hit the key point.
You're right.
We're here.
Exactly. So Drew Hill is at 11:25, and then Raheem Palmer from The Ringer. We'll talk NBA with him at 1:25. We'll get his thoughts on these playoffs and a whole lot more. But we do have a lot to get to, and it's Thursday. So let's do a little thing, George, we call over under. Point .5. African-American popes selected in the next 5 minutes.
How many were we down to? Three?
Three possibilities?
Finalists?
I don't even know that.
I thought one was like I'd read a street, a street minister. One was, you know, that, but I had not read about their races. And
yeah.
So I feel grossly uninformed right now, on anything about their races.
Yeah.
And you do now have me curious, though.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to go with under.
Me too. on African American.
Yes.
Yeah. Popes. Well, I'm going to go under here. It would be nice to know the facts.
There's a lot, actually. There's
a ton of cardinals.
Yeah, there's a list
that are
of 15 or 20.
We didn't narrow that down.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't even know how the progress.
I know
whoever.
We'd up the number of times they're voting. That's seems appropriate.
Yes. So we'll see who the next pope is. I don't know when they announce it, but yeah, I'll take the under on the African American. My bad, man. My bad for the misinformation there. All right, moving on. Timberwolves, game two tonight against the Golden State Warriors. As we know, no Steph Curry. He's been ruled out of game two, game three, and game four. And that'll obviously leave a status up to doubt. And, you know, if there is a game five, it could be a Warrior sweep, right?
Yep.
Timberwolves, -10.5 tonight. They margin of victory for the Timberwolves, -10.5.
How Brad do yesterday taking underdogs in the points?
1-1. Yeah.
Okay. So it's starting to falter at least.
With, again,
it had been perfect.
The trend of if the dog covers, the dog wins.
In this case, there's no Steph, as we know, making this, you would think, even tougher because I do, and John touched on it. We said it. We needed to. You know, we had Anthony Edwards up on a pedestal coming out of that Lakers series, and he did not lead. In that last game, after missing a ton of shots early on that game, sure his defense was fine, but he didn't lead the way he needed to. He knows that Chris Finch challenged him. He didn't need that to know, and so I expect a response from him. Obviously, there has to be a response from Chris Finch in terms of the way that Golden State was able to manhandle you around the glass. That's supposed to be your advantage. What are you doing here? And then Steph went out second quarter. He'd been their leading rebounder the last series against Houston. Steph Curry, their leading rebounder for the series. How are they out-rebounding you as big as you are in that game? And so this is obvious. It feels square, but it feels right. I expect the response from Anthony Edwards. I expect Chris Finch to have a better plan against the zone that Steve Kerr deployed in the first game. This should be a smackdown. It better be if Minnesota's real. Mm-hmm. You let Draymond and Jimmy dictate things again? Man, you're not real.
Yeah.
You're not real.
Yeah, I agree.
So over.
It should
be
marked
cover here.
Yeah. Again, if we think the Timberwolves win, we should take the 10.5.
This playoffs have been crazy though. So
they have been
coming here tomorrow, and that, you know, Warriors even keeping it close. It's just the way the playoffs have gone.
But what would
they lose the game and keep it close? They're not supposed to tonight.
What's the path for the Warriors without Steph? I mean, he does everything.
There is no path except to getting to game six. Grade one, you can go. Windhorst was talking about the difference. Huge difference between grade one, grade two hamstring injuries. Ones, there have been cases where guys within a week or two have been decently effective back. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Steph's first one. However, he's a man who's in incredible shape, as we know. Probably more impactful to him, though, because of, like we said, how much running he does. That's part of his game. All around the court, literally running miles. But, you get that extra 3 days rest for him between games five and six. So I think technically we counted up yesterday, what, that 10, 11 days, give or take a day? Get him back out there for game six. It's just survive and not lose the next four.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. I do think this is a response game, the Timberwolves probably handle them. But does that mean
too square for you? Is that not too square?
I mean,
from a betting guy, is that not just does this not seem too obvious?
I mean, they were 7 without Steph. They were 6.5, 7 without Steph.
I'm just making sure.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think if anything, though, it may be a little undervalued. I think the impact of Steph. I think it probably should be 11.5.
That's kind of where I was thinking.
I mean, I
wouldn't be surprised if it was 11.5, 12.5.
With how heliocentric their offense is with him, right?
Is Draymond going to step up, hit 4 threes again?
Not without Steph. Because all the court contracts now.
It does.
Without him.
It does.
You know, you get to focus on everybody.
Well, yeah. And Buddy Hield's been hot. He started that game ice cold. He could go ice cold again. He's been huge here in the last couple of games for them.
But now, you know, Ant gets to guard him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the best defender just kind of slides down a notch.
I just find it amazing that Kuminga, who at one point I thought was coming on as a player in this league,
yeah,
is barely in the rotation. They're using him when they get thin. Like, what did he do to get in the doghouse? I haven't watched them closely enough to know. But is he still not capable of a game or two? The kind of numbers he was putting up at one point with this organization, I've been stunned by. I haven't read enough about the story between him and Steve Kerr and what's happened.
Yeah,
because that dude was coming. He was turning the corner. It felt like in terms of his development.
Yeah,
now
I don't know.
He's an afterthought.
He is.
It's crazy.
I don't know what the hell's going on or what happened.
I didn't know if it's common knowledge or not, but I got to read up on.
Sometimes guys don't develop. You know,
100%.
I mean, it happens.
But he was turning a corner though. He did something went wrong there.
No, he was. It's not quite the Gigi Jackson because Gigi wasn't doing it on a relevant team.
No.
But I do kind of feel the same. It gives me Gigi vibes a little bit. Like, you know, it's never going to quite be what you thought it was going to be. All right. Years of eligibility for Dane Danger. Mm. 0.5. Now, how do we come up with that number? Because it's all he wants, obviously. Why are we talking about it? Well, there was some news yesterday that if you were just on Twitter, you wouldn't have even thought was relevant to the situation. But it may be. San Francisco has a guy named Malik Thomas. Memphis beat San Francisco and Malik Thomas last season. Mm-hmm. Well, he got a waiver from the NCAA for another year of eligibility yesterday. He's probably going to Virginia. He averaged 20 points a game last year. He's a 40% shooter from three. And what's interesting about Malik Thomas is that he has appeared in a game every year for 4 years. He's played all 4 years of his career, and he's getting another year. So the key here is he only played in 9 games his freshman season, and the NCAA is still allowing him to have that fifth year. Dane Danger did redshirt in 2020, so 2020 to 2021, but he didn't play in that season, obviously. And then he only played 3 games as a freshman. So there at least is – it's not 100% the same. It's not 100% the same, but it is – it's a framework of sort of the same thing. I'm not saying that Dane's getting it because Malik Thomas is getting it, but do I feel better about that because Malik Thomas is getting it? I do. I'm sure Malik had an explanation that he gave to the NCAA about why he wanted a fifth year, why it went wrong, whatever, and they listened and they gave him the stamp. I'm assuming Dane has made a similar case, and I'm gonna be hopeful that Memphis gets it. So I'm going to go over, dude. I'm going to go Dane Danger gets – I don't know this because it's not my – how would I know? The NCAA has a rule on this, but I would say over. I think he's going to get it.
I'm going to go over, but I'm just praying because we don't have another big next to Bradshaw, and I don't want to just depend on him.
That's right.
So let's pray it's over.
Yeah.
Feels like you, I mean, you'd sort of reopened the door. I'll phrase it that way. Although you'd said, was this last week? You couldn't say much. So you got us, at least we took it back off the dismissal pile. We had 86'd it. You know, any hope of Dane being back based on the way the beat writers had written it up. This was likely, you know, going to go against NCAA precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'd say that this new information, you get this case, and there's some similarities. Yeah, I want to keep it positive. And the way Penny, you know, at that position with the front court seems to kind of still be waiting. Hopefully, we'll leave the insight on this to you. I'm just hopeful it's over.
I haven't heard anything definitively.
It makes a huge difference. But bring him back. I mean, a huge difference.
If you know, if had Malik Thomas had his waiver denied, right?
Yeah,
I would say Dane has no chance.
But what about? I mean, he was ineligible though.
Ineligible, right? That's why it hurts. He redshirted, but he was ineligible.
That's the key.
He couldn't play.
You're ineligible, right? Yeah.
And it's so your clock.
So that's been the key. So this, at least in what they had laid out, you know, Parth and Munns.
Yes. No. I mean, that's
the sticking point.
That makes it tougher. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And how does that compare to your guy's case?
Oh, it doesn't.
Right, it doesn't. That's the key difference.
No, because there is the issue of that year, where even though he didn't play games, he couldn't have played games. Would have played games if he was eligible.
Would finish it off by saying hopefully there's not going to be a backup plan that's as good as Dane, and at this point he's the most important thing because you are thin still. You have a ton of wings, and you got guards. You'd like to shore it up because you have no idea what Bradshaw is going to be able to do for you.
Right.
Based on what he's done at his previous two stops.
Yep. So we'll see. But I think it's more news than bad. It could be nothing. It could just be noise. But
it's sent in. We know that, right?
Yes.
Any day now, right?
You would think.
Even though, you know, if they get a no, they'll go back and appeal and then we'll be still in the process.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to Drew Hill, who's in Vatican City, when we get back. Talk to him about that, as well as what the Grizzlies are doing, right? Is what the white smoke from FedEx Forum in terms of that veteran piece. Or a trade or anything, please, God, something.
Please, hello.
We'll do that with Drew Hill when we get back. Jason and John, Turner FM, ESPN. He covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He joins us every single Thursday, and Drew Hill joins us now, live from Vatican City. What's the scene, man? How's it looking out there? It seems emotional.
No white smoke. Don't see anything here. You know me. And all my holiness, but I don't really know what's going on. I'm going to be honest. I have no idea how any of this process works. I went to Catholic school, John. I guess I learned nothing.
Wow.
Because I don't know the first thing about any of this.
So there's
I did go to Catholic school very briefly.
There's 133 Damn. Cardinal electors. They gather in the Sistine Chapel. They elect the new pope, and then he comes to the window. That's what he does. He comes to the window.
John just looked that up.
It's pretty sick that it happens in the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Rome last summer. I walked by the Vatican, did not go in. Saw it from the outside, though. Sure, it was cool. I'm sure the Pope was in there chilling, hanging out. But, no.
The next Pope was absolutely there. Anyway, we did get the white smoke on the Grizzlies coaching search, and it was the same guy. It was Thomas Isolo. I don't know. We have definitely not talked to you since that hire became official, because that happened. What was it, Friday at 2 p.m.?
Yep.
Yes.
The old news dump, like it was bad PR or something. But he is the permanent Grizzlies coach. Did you expect this by sort of the end of the season and hearing from the team? Was this an expectation for you?
I mean, yeah. I think if you're paying attention to sort of the way I wrote about this, talked about this, all this. I mean, I thought this was going to happen the minute that they made him the interim. I think they were very invested in Tomas. They viewed him as one of the best coaching prospects out there when they brought him in as a lead assistant. I felt like this was going to happen. I think what was key was two things, and I wrote this the weekend on Saturday, I believe, story came out. If you want to go back and read it, I went through some of his strengths and weaknesses, and ultimately, you know, how I thought he ended up getting the job, and that was he had to prove he was tough enough and direct enough that he could show leadership. He's capable of that, because I think that was a major priority. But, you know, as Zach said at exit interviews, basically he's not looking for somebody, I'm paraphrasing here, but like, that's going to be best friends with the players, but somebody that's going to be able to make hard decisions and push them. And he had, so Tomas had to show that, and he also had to show he could do that without losing the locker room. And, you know, even in those first few weeks, you would ask around about Tomas and say, what's he like? Like, how's this going? And people that were, you know, around that staff, the players, like, even when the cameras weren't on, would tell you, like, yeah, he's like, he fits the Scandinavian stereotypes in terms of, like, he's very serious. He's a very serious person. But he also has this, like, jovial side to him that comes out every once in a while. And I think that balance and striking that balance really helped him sort of keep the locker room together. And in the end, that's what they decided. Now, it wasn't perfect. Like, there was the frustration with the challenges. I thought the late game stuff, there was a lot left to be desired. But there was also pretty much every excuse in the book on the table if the Grizzlies wanted to use it for the guy. So, in the end, I think this is something that they always thought could be a possibility as soon as he took over. Like, I'm not saying that they thought it was a possibility when they hired him as a lead assistant, but I think as soon as he took over as the head coach, you know, he was going to have a chance to really grab this thing by the horns, and they, in their opinion, he did. And so now he's the permanent head coach of the team.
Ask Jessica Benson this. I think she said, yeah, we think so. And what about you logistically? We'll have press conference, right? And why none so far, you know?
I don't think we will have a press conference.
That's unusual, right, Drew? That would be unusual. Introducing, yes, even if he's your interim at one point, right? Not to interrupt you, but I just want to make sure that you would find that unusual.
Yeah, no, it. I don't think it's unusual. I got to be careful what I say here, to be honest with you, Jason. But I think that this is just logistically challenging for the franchise to get him. Like, I don't think that it's a matter of, like, they don't want him to do a press conference.
Gotcha.
They have the combine this week. Like, he's got to be up there for that. You know, they've got the draft coming up. He's got other stuff on his plate that I don't think is really, like, out there yet. So, like, you know, there's a reason why, and it's schedule related. It's not because they don't want him to do a press conference. But I think we'll this is as much as I can give. I think we'll have plenty of time to talk to him, you know, over the course of the summer. So I think that it's not. I wouldn't view it as some sort of red flag, but I don't think he's going to do a press conference. No,
I'm curious about this, because I'm not asking you to dissect the man. I'm curious about your opinion, Drew, because you have been. I will co-sign what you said. It was you saying very early on after he was named interim, oh, they're going to give him the chance. It was the way you said it that had me thinking along this lines. This is what it's going to be. I had said, whether it's Isolo or another coach, you got to get one that doesn't dance with Ja before every game, and it is. It's making, you know, that's. That's way too, you know, it's almost a disrespect. I'm not framing Taylor Jenkins' tenure here as that, but it was one of the ways, right, that he handled Ja. And it was, hey, it was fun for them, but it was also something they did. And so I'd said, whether it's Isolo or a new coach, hey, man, the next guy's got to pull it out of him, maybe, you know, be a guy that's more going to challenge him as opposed to just try to, I don't want to say be his friend, but you get what I'm saying. And so in saying that, somebody said to me, DM'd me, a good friend of mine named Reg, he's a listener, said, well, you know Isolo has danced with Ja. And I was like, well, no, I didn't see. He said it's on YouTube. Anyway, he'd sent it to me. It was local. It was WMC, I think, that had the video. And where I'm going with this is not to ask you, oh, man, is this bad a bad sign? Do you think Isolo's a guy that's going to try to do that, right, because – maybe he saw the positive in that, whatever it was, if there is a positive, when Taylor Jenkins was doing it? Is he the guy that was doing that? Hey, this is the way I'm going to fit in right now, and then going to adapt? Like, how would you sort of predict it for what we know about him so far? Because it feels like how he deals with Ja is going to be so important, right?
Yeah, it's going to be very important. The dancing thing, as we've discussed, you know, that was something that went back to something Ja used to do with Tyus Jones, and right. It's like a superstition thing for Ja, but like the look is the look, you know, visually, yep. It is what it is. I 100% agree with that. Listen, I don't know exactly how Isalo is going to, I guess, approach the jaw thing, other than I know the way that he handles players, especially players that need to be told hard truths, is with 100% honesty. Yeah. and straightforwardness, and that is really what is most important him. And so I think that as long and his thinking, I've actually, this is something I've pushed him on in press conferences. And when I ask him about it, he says, you know, generally speaking, players will listen to you if they believe you're trying to do something to help them improve, something that's going to make them better, something that's indeed in their best interest. Mm-hmm. And as long as they feel like that is happening, they're more likely to listen to the hard truths, you know, in situations like that.
Yep.
So I think that's really where this thing has to start, is Ja has to have, and this is something Ja's brought up actually too, is this whole system, this whole philosophy, this whole idea behind Isalo is all based in trust. Like, trust that the players have the team's best interest at heart, trust that he has their best interest at heart, trust on the court. And I think as long as he's able to build that trust, they can have whatever kind of relationship they want. If they want to dance, if they want to do whatever, fine. Like, that's all fine, as long as in the end, you know, Tomas is able to go to Ja and say, look, this isn't going to cut it, or go to another player on the team and say, look, you know, Jaren, we need you to be tougher in these areas. Like, as long as that is the case, I don't really care what else they do. That's for everybody else to sort of dissect. But that, those things, the behind-the-scenes conversations and the philosophy that he's expressed and the way he says he operates needs to be the way he actually operates. And if that's the case, I think it would be end up to be a pretty good hire.
Yeah. I don't have any doubt about his acumen. You know, I think FIBA basketball specifically is extremely high level. You know, I watch a lot of international basketball, whether it's the, you know, the World Cup, whether it's the Olympics. Got Eurobasket coming up this summer. You know, and I'm always impressed with the, you know, with the acumen and the coaching. So I'm not really worried about that. But the NBA is just, I mean, there's just so much that goes into it, right? Like, it's so political, it's so star driven, personality driven, that it almost, like, the basketball almost takes a back seat. And that's the only part where, like, I would have reservations about him, is that in a league and in a sport where the actual sport sometimes takes a back seat to the drama, is he equipped? I'm not implying anything when I ask this. I'm just like, is he equipped to deal with that? You know?
Yeah. No, that's a serious question. That's probably the number one question as we enter this next season.
Because there are some guys that, like, they've been through it, they've done it, they either played in the NBA, like, they know the that's why Sam Cassell made sense. That's why Dame Sotomayor made sense, because they've been in those shoes, you know, and that's just the experience of Isalo in this exact sort of ecosystem. You know, that's just my hesitation.
Yes, no, I 100% get that. I do think it helps Isalo that he was a player. He wasn't an NBA player, but he was a player. Like, I think that that does help a little bit. And I mean, that's truly the question here, because it goes back to what he said in Miami after Ja hit the buzzer beater, in terms of, like, his build up to just his first win, which that was his first win, was like, he said, it's like, you know, going from Europe to the NBA is like, you know, going from, you know, directing a sailboat, captaining a sailboat, to steering a cruise ship, you know? And I'm sure it very much feels like that, because, as you mentioned, there's so much politicking that goes on. There's so much that happens behind the scenes. You know, the team dynamic is, you know, always hard to manage. And it was, I think, particularly hard for Taylor Jenkins to manage in the end. And that's where, you know, maybe if you hired somebody that has a little bit more experience and has been in more NBA locker rooms and has been around that environment a little bit more, maybe they would have a little bit of an advantage. No, I would 100% agree with that.
The next week we find out about Jaren and All-NBA. That feels like the next step. Drew John was just asking me about it, because then we know, right, whether you've got certain flexibilities right now or you've got to, you know, raise up Jaren's, right? When do we find that out?
I don't know the exact date. We'll find out all NBA, but it is going to have a major impact here.
On how you move.
I just wrote earlier this week about just the summer, setting everything up, and you know, before July 1st, the Grizzlies are probably going to want to have an idea of what's going to happen with Jaren there, and that's all going to, most of it is going to depend on the all NBA stuff.
Yep.
Because you know, if Jaren indeed makes the all NBA team, then the Grizzlies are going to be above the salary cap, even if they get an extension with him, or if he doesn't sign any sort of extension, which you would think if he does make all NBA, they're going to strike on that.
Right.
But if that does happen, then the Grizzlies would be above the cap to start the new season on July 1st, and they would have access to $14 million non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is more than if they have to renegotiate and extend, as we said, which would mean that the Grizzlies would have to clear money off the books. They would start under the salary cap as a room team, and that would only give them access to a maximum of $9 million for the room mid-level exception. So it's a big deal. Like if it's a bigger deal than people sort of realize, like no matter what, people really want, you should be really cheering for Jaren
to finish all NBA. That's what we should be cheering.
Because it doesn't just impact Jaren and the possibility of an extension. It significantly could impact the amount of money that the Grizzlies can spend to put, you know, a better team around these guys next year.
Well, it is funny, like just the way that when you get removed from it, you know, I came in here the Monday after the Grizzlies you know, lost the Thunder in four, and I'm like, you know, I'm ready to, you know, break it. I'm ready to just, for the sake of it, not even like with a plan, I'm just ready to break it. And then, you know, 2 weeks pass, you're like, the emotions are out of it now. It's like,
well, you kind of look at, you look at what else is happening around the league too. It's like, you know, if not for a terrible collapse, Oklahoma City should have just absolutely handled Denver the exact same way.
Be up 2-0, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then all the other teams that you thought you would have a decent series against, you know, that kind of played out to be true. You know, the Lakers totally sputtered out. You know, the Warriors, they ended up beating the Rockets, and you thought that the Grizzlies would probably, you know, play a competitive series against the Rockets. And like all that stuff probably could, and in my opinion, probably would have ended up being true, and the Grizzlies would have played a more competitive series. And if it ends any other way than it did, especially with the Ja getting hurt and that part of it, like, I don't know if we'd be pressing the panic button the same way we're pressing the panic button right now. But, you know, it just depends on your perspective of the team. Like, if you view this team as championship or bust and you want this team to be a championship-level contender, then everything Zach Kleiman said at his exit interviews were correct. They are not one wing away from doing that. If you just want this team to be in the mix with all these other teams next year and not be the team that's bounced out in the first round, they could bring back these three guys and put a couple pieces around them and be pretty dang competitive too. So there's multiple ways that this team can go. It'll be interesting to see which avenue the Grizzlies pick.
And remind me, Drew, the way you would be writing it, if he makes all NBA and he gets that max deal, is it Jaren, just generally, is it Jaren Jackson's the highest paid player in the league for this moment, though, one of the highest paid bigs? How's that going to go once, if he does indeed get that? Where does it put
know.
Him?
It just depends. It depends on how much he ends up making, because it's up to, right? So, like, you know, if that happens, it could be up to 5 years and up to $350 million. You know, obviously, if he gets that amount, he's going to be
the
one
highest
of the most
paid player in the league
I would be shocked.
Five or three.
I would be pretty surprised, I'll be honest, if that ends up being the case. I think in the end, you're going to make him the highest paid player on the team. And honestly, I know everybody is going to point to the playoffs and say it wasn't good enough, and Jaren would acknowledge that too, but based on the way he performed over the course of the whole season, he was the most valuable player on the Grizzlies. He made the biggest jump on the Grizzlies last year. Like, I don't think you can really Caruso, be all the way out on that. So I think that's probably the starting point, right?
I know.
Like, that's got to be the starting point.
Not to dismiss what you said, but Caruso handled that, didn't he? He handled all that.
Yep.
Yeah, that was what was so tough to watch about it. But to this, but like you said, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, the quarterback in the NFL that gets the next contract for that, you know, for that he's earned it. That's the market value at that point. I mean, that's his market value at that point, and that's just kind of where we are with Jaren. And I keep going back to, for those of us that have sort of pushed against this idea, right, paying Jaren this much, they're too far down that road, Drew. I think you agree. Like, Zach Edey is an investment in him, like we've talked about. And you like what Zach Edey did for you, especially under Isolo last year. And so, you know, having Zach Edey as a top 10 pick is really, you know, even more of an investment in, you know, retaining Jaren Jackson and going with this plan is what I'm saying. Him.
Right. Yeah. No, there's no indication at this point of anything other than the Grizzlies just wanting to have Jaren.
All it's going
to
be. That's what it's going to be.
If you go look, I mean, and that doesn't mean that they wouldn't consider, you know, some crazy trade, especially if, you know, if Jaren decides he doesn't want an extension. Immediately, you know.
Right, right.
Immediately, you're on the hornet, or if Jaren just turned it down now. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot happening. There's a lot for the Grizzlies to figure out. And you know, with Jaren, you know, he only knows this place. This is the only place he knows. So sure. I think he'd be happy to get a deal done with the Grizzlies. And the question is, in what way can the Grizzlies get pen to paper here without compromising too much of the future? So we'll see what happens. But I think, you know, all indications are all parties want this to get done. So hopefully it gets done.
Yeah. We're talking to Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. All right. Of the top two seeds that are still playing, right? We got OKC, we got Boston, and we got Cleveland. How many are moving on?
Okay, OKC's moving on, and I think that's it, man.
That's it. Boston's dead.
I think Minnesota's moving on. Obviously, I mean, listen, it's hard. Like, I know everybody's gonna still say Boston's a huge favorite. Like, whatever.
It just they're not. Nick they're winning. Not favored. They are underdogs now, officially. Yeah,
they're not. They're not. But I think it's still close, right? It's close to even here. I thought the series price was like what -120 on New York. Like I think all it takes is the Knicks getting one more at home, and they have Jalen Brunson. They have a team that plays extremely hard. They have a pretty healthy team. Like. I think if the Knicks get one at home, and you got to feel like that, the chances of that are probably a little bit better than 50%. Like then, I think they're going to win the series. So I'll take the Knicks. Obviously, the Cavs are in a rough spot. So give me the Pacers. I mean, I just have this feeling, and I had this feeling last night that OKC was just going to run over Denver, and I just have this daunting feeling that. OKC is going to just run over everybody on the way to the finals. And maybe that makes us feel a little bit different here in Memphis. But I just – that's the way I see this going.
How come Mazzulla and calling out Tatum and Brown like Chris Finch did Anthony Edwards?
I don't know. I mean, those guys have won a championship maybe.
That's
I don't true. Know. Maybe
that,
they,
no, that's fair. That's a good call in terms
like,
of –
Like those guys probably there's – You know, with Anthony Edwards, that might be fuel. With Tatum and Brown, there might be some ego involved there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they need – right. I'm with you. It seems like too much ego, maybe not enough heart in this series and against a team that was built to defend you and is playing with heart right now. That's
I just don't get it. It's like Boston forgets how to play basketball in the fourth quarter. They totally come apart. I've never seen anything like that.
Oh, that's a mess.
And last night, like the Knicks are really talented and really good. And I hope for basketball viewership's sake, we don't get Knicks and Thunder in the finals, because if we do, the final scores might be 76-70.
Oh, but you know, the ratings will be great, though, because the Knicks are in it.
Go, New York, go, New York, go. Oh,
it'll be the first time they've been relevant since I've been an adult.
Yeah.
I can even remember. The Knicks just for the memes, man. The memes are great. The internet content, on all the Nick stuff. Like, there's some people that hate it. I find it pretty entertaining, and
that's good.
And so I'm here for it.
It's good when they're good. It's good for the league.
Yeah, no, you know, my theory on it, Drew, is the further that the Celtics get from Ime Udoka, the worse they get.
Interesting. Yes.
I think that's part of this is that, you know, Mazzulla's probably like not a great coach. I mean, that's what the odds would suggest, right? That he's just a guy that was a beneficiary of a title-ready team, and he had, like, the principles of Ime Udoka. All he had to do was sort of just continue those that season in the next two. And then, you know, as it's getting longer and the sample size is getting bigger, you know, it's probably more Ime than anything. Because Ime's proven he just took the Rockets from nothing to the two seed. You know, I know they lost in seven games, but
oh, he's a coach guy.
I think it's a sort of in a positive way a referendum on Ime Udoka's ability to do this in the NBA to build teams. You know, and when he's gone, it can go back to where it was.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it is Mazzulla responsible for this team shooting a million three pointers every single game. And the question is, you know, that worked for them in the regular season, and it hasn't worked so far in this series against New York. Yep. But if this thing turns around and they start making those shots and they come win the series, like, you know, maybe we should give Joe Mazzulla a little bit more credit. But I don't think what you said is wrong, because obviously the way that the Rockets played this year under Ime was very impressive. But it was different than the way the Celtics played. So you can sort of see Joe Mazzulla's touch on this. And if it doesn't go right, you know, he's going to be the one that has to take some of that blame.
Real quick, Drew, because you see all the league's best every, you know, on a given night. How high on your best players list would you have Jalen Brunson now?
Oh, my gosh.
It's tough, right?
You know, that game last night was like not his best game.
Oh no, yeah, sure.
He feels so clutch.
I'm with you.
Like, it's just like he's such a weapon late in games. And he's proving that he can do it in the playoffs now multiple years in a row, which is impressive. So I mean, he's up there. I don't put him among the elite. I don't put him in like that top five category, but he's maybe in the next five. He's not Shea, Jokic, Giannis. Like, he's not those analytical and statistical monsters that you have full confidence in the postseason and in the regular season to absolutely just fill up the box score every night. Like, that's probably not Jalen Brunson, but you still have a lot of confidence in him in the playoffs. Yeah. He's going to win games.
I'm with you. So, it's next tier down then, right? It's next tier down after that.
He's in that next group.
I'm with you.
Yep.
I'm with you, brother.
Drew.
You're the best, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate this from Vatican City. Have a good day.
Bear down.
Yeah,
go Cubs, go.
Hopefully we get a new Pope for you soon. I'm working on it.
Yep, thank you very much. He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. I think he's kind of sandbagging us. He's acting like he doesn't know that the smoke is white that's been coming out.
He's doing a good job because it feels like he doesn't know.
Somebody needs to, can you?
Bro, what are you, you are our man.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell him?
I thought I did, but maybe I didn't, or I didn't convey it
He mentioned he's not tuned in. I think he was a little ashamed about it, wanting to move on. He shouldn't be, because most of us weren't, you and me included.
The overwhelming favorite is Pierre Parolin.
He's the French Pope. That's a guess.
Is he French? I thought
that complete.
He's Italian.
Way off.
Italian. So Pietro Parolin.
Okay. I hadn't had the name yet, so thank you.
Not Pierre. Pietro Parolin.
Let's get it right.
Is the favorite right now. He is, I don't know when he was born. He was born in 1955, so he's 70. And again, you're going to have to, you know, look into his policies, his stances on policy issues on your own time. But that is the favorite as of right now. All right, we'll come back. Got NBA playoff game tonight, just one. We'll have Brad's pick. I don't know if we can do it for a full segment because there's just one game, right? It's just one game tonight, and it's standalone. Let's see. Does he stay with his trend of betting nothing but underdogs who are getting double digits? That's the suspense with this one. 1-1 for him last night. The Helen Keller slate. He's going to go 1-1 almost every night, just because that's the way it is.
Don't speak that to existence.
I'm sorry to say it. It's just happened. He's never gone 0-2.
And he's just on a little hot streak, man. Yeah. He was. We really had him turn the wrong way for a little while.
What's he? 23-17.
I think he's. Yeah. No. I thought he was. We'll have it coming back. I have it added up.
Okay. All right. We'll
need to add it up on radio.
Yeah.
I'll
exactly.
Have it for you.
And then we'll get into the NBA playoffs again with Raheem Palmer at 125. So that's the show. Stick around, Jason John, Artie Turner, FM, ESPN.